Geek Radio Daily for Weekend Eve, which means the weekend is approaching, and Saturday night at 9 o'clock, you can come play Cards Against Humanity with us. We got a Facebook event thing there. It's all kinds of crazy. It's the Flintstress' birthday. We're going to be drinking. It's going to be just as wacky and crazy as you can get in this modern day and age without increasing your risk of catching something. And when you're with us, you never catch something, because we're always safe when we're with you. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 23rd of April. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today were the guy that's back and ready to give me that same pep talk he does every morning. It's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
There comes a time in every friendship when you have to say, I never liked you, get lost.
And that's what gets me motivated. Hi, everybody. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
We are geeks, but you have to remember, geeks are cool now. This is our time.
Our time. What happened, sir?
It's 100% true. They're always very safety-oriented. In fact, their hands are always 10 and 2. In 1635, the first public school in the United States, the Boston Latin School, is founded in Boston, Massachusetts.
1827, William Rowan Hamilton presented his theory of systems of rays at the Royal Irish Academy in Dublin. Though he's still only a 21-year-old undergraduate, the work would become one of the most important works in optics, providing a single function that unites mathematics, mechanics, and optics.
1867, the zoetrope is patented by William E. Lincoln of Providence, Rhode Island. The device is the first animated picture machine. It creates the illusion of animation to a sequence of pictures lining the inside wall of a shallow cylinder, with vertical slits between the image when spun.
1896, the first movie shown to a paying theater audience in the U.S. is presented using Thomas Edison's Vitascope. What was it? Doesn't matter. There were posters that said Edison everywhere.
I'm pretty sure it was good for you. It's got Vita right in the beginning. 1924, in England, King George V broadcast from the opening of the British Empire Exhibition to a record audience of 10 million people. It's the most people ever addressed by a head of state.
1940, the first leak-proof, sealed-in-steel, dry-cell flashlight batteies patented in the U.S. by Herman Anthony. It will be released by Rayovac. Someone will knock it off your shoulder.
In 1962, the American satellite that will be the first to reach the lunar surface, the Ranger 4, is launched at 3:50 from Cape Canaveral, Florida.
1965, the first Soviet communication satellite, Monia 1, is launched by the USSR into geostationary orbit.
1967, the Soyuz 1 is launched from the Baikonur Cosmodrome, carrying cosmonaut Vladimir Komarov aboard. The following day, Komarov will become the first in-flight casualty in the history of space exploration when the spaceship crashes due to mechanical problems.
1981, artificial skin is first transplanted in the U.S. on patients at the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. The combination of cowhide, shark cartilage, and plastic was developed by Ioannis V. Yannis and a research team at MIT.
1985, Coca-Cola changes its formula and releases New Coke. The response is overwhelmingly negative, and the original formula is back on the market in less than 3 months. Coke, haven't you figured out? If you've already got one flavor, don't change that one. It's okay to make new ones.
I'm bummed I didn't get one in the Stranger Things 3 promo. 1994, physicists at the Department of Energy's Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory discovered a subatomic particle called the top quark. It is the most massive of known elementary particles. It also served as the inspiration for the book 50 Lobes of Grey.
1999, the Carnegie Mellon University's Computer Emergency Response Team warns computer users that a new virus called the CIH, also known as Chernobyl or Space Filler, may strike on Monday, April 26th, and essentially erase data on disk drives and hard drives.
I'm amazed we recovered from that. Same day, same year, Miramax releases the science fiction film As Extends, directed by David Cronenberg, starring Jennifer Jason Leigh, Jude Law, Ian Holm, and Willem Dafoe. In a limited release, it is not The Matrix.
And also, Sony Computer Entertainment America files another temporary restraining order against Blem LLC, developers of the PlayStation emulator Blem for personal computers.
2003, registration of .pro top-level domains, including .cpa, .pro, .law, .pro, and .med, .pro, begin.
In 2005, at the Celebration 3 fan convention, hey, I was there, George Lucas announces that two new Star Wars television series will be produced. The first will be a fully 3D half-hour length series that picks up where the Clone Wars cartoon left off of, produced by Lucasfilm Animation. The series is scheduled for a fall 2007 release. The second series will be an hour-long live-action show set between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. It will focus on very minor characters from the film, with the possibility of cameo appearances by some of the main characters. We all remember how awesome that show, and now it never actually came about. But it led to The Mandalorian.
There is that. 2007, NASA releases the first 3D images of the sun, which have been taken by the Solar Terrestrial Relations Observatory, the STEREO satellites.
2008, German media publisher Bertelsmann announces plans to publish the world's first reference book based on German language Wikipedia entries.
Books based off the internet?
2009, gamma ray burst GRB-090423 is detected by the Swift Gamma Ray Burst mission over a duration of 10 seconds. Astronomers determine the redshift of the burst is the most distant and oldest known object in the known universe.
Besides your mom.
Birthdays.
Jamie King, 41, from Bulletproof Monk, Sin City, Star Wars, Clone Wars.
John Oliver is 43, from Community, Smurfs, Wonder Park, The Lion King, and kills it every week on a show that everyone should be watching.
Every week. Coming in at 43 years old, John Cena from Ready to Rumble. Wait, he was in Ready to Rumble?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Wow. That was when he was been on the independent circuit still. The Marine, Trainwreck, Bumblebee. Of course, he's a WWE superstar. He's in...
Fernadad?
Playing with Fire, which is way better than it has any right to be, and has also released a rap album with at least one decent track on it.
Melina Kanakridis is 53 from The Long Kiss Goodnight, CSI New York, Percy Jackson, The Olympians, and The Lightning Thief, and of course, The Resident.
John Hannah is 58 from The Mummy, Scorched Earth, and Overboard.
George Lopez is 59 years of age from Fatal Instinct, Beverly Hills Chihuahua, The Smurfs, and Rio.
Hasn't he had several talk shows as well?
Oh, about 30 or 40 of them. He got canceled by Conan O'Brien.
Valerie Bertinelli, 61, from One Day at a Time, Sydney, Cafe American, Touched by an Angel, Hot in Cleveland, so many things.
Blair Brown is 74 from Altered States, The Days and Nights of Molly Dodd, Orange is the New Black, and Limitless. I believe that's the series, not the movie.
Very true. Lee Majors, 81, $6 million man, was Ash's dad on Ash vs. Evil Dead. Phenomenal casting, only because Robert Culp wasn't around anymore. And of course, not only played the star, but also sang the theme song on Fall Guy.
No longer with us, born this date in 1564, William Shakespeare, or Christopher Marlowe, depending on how you look at it.
1867, Johannes Fibiger, Danish physician and pathologist, discovered ringworms.
That's what I want to be remembered for. 1904, Duncan Rinaldo played the Cisco Kid on TV.
1916, Sinai Estelle Kelly worked on the mass production of penicillin.
1928, Shirley Temple. She was a little girl who danced, and they put her in a bunch of movies, and eventually she went on to serve in Congress. It can happen to you too, kids.
1943, Hervé Villechaize. From The Man with the Golden Gun, Fantasy Island, Forbidden Zone, Airplane 2, the sequel, Two Moon Junction, and did an amazing Peter Dinklage impression.
1957, Jan Hooks from Not Necessarily the News, Saturday Night Live, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Batman Returns, Coneheads, Designing Women, and Third Rock from the Sun.
On television on CBS, we've got a rerun of Young Sheldon, New Man with a Plan, Rerun of Mom, New Broke, and Packing Heat, as well as a new Tommy.
ABC, it's NFL Draft Round 1, if that still happens this year.
NBC has a new superstore, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, rerun of Will and Grace, Indebted, and a new Elano Svu.
Over on Fox, it's a new Last Man Standing, a rerun of Last Man Standing, and another rerun of Mental Samurai. Are there new episodes? I don't see new episodes of this coming on. What's happening?
CW, new Laddie Katie Kane, Felix, Jess, and Murphy, the Guiding Hope team, come up with a plan to disguise their new business on a new In the Dark.
Freeform, Ren returns, I know it's Ryan, returns to land to explore human motherhood. Maddie and Rob come across a gruesome discovery on a new Siren.
AMC, get ready to play with the boys. It's Top Gun.
Bravo, the chefs visit the Walt Disney Concert Hall where they meet conductor Gustavo Dudamel before cooking for members of the LA Philharmonic on a new Top Chef.
Gustavo Dudamel sounds like a name cobbled together from like 17 different actors. FX, Sam throws Frankie a coming-of-age ritual on a new Better Things.
FXX, Sink or Swim or Take It or Leave It or Put Up and Shut Up or Else on a new Cake.
FXM has Kingsman, The Secret Service.
IFC, Underworld, Blood Wars, which I think is the most recent one?
Yeah, it's number 17. Siffy, an intense battle for survival, which stems from a stealth mission through the Republic border being conducted, ensues as Lazaro nears on a new Vagrant Queen.
Turner Classic Movies is showing Metropolis. Everyone should be watching that. But tonight it's the Lifetime Movie Network, because after celebrating her birthday with her best friend, a woman is shocked to learn a friend's been murdered. As detectives struggle to find her killer, a lead is discovered. But when the suspect's DNA is run through a genetic testing site, things get crazy. Brooke Nevin and Diora Baird star in Her Secret Family Killer.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad's worried about Charlotte wanting to take a driver's test, which, you know, scares all parents. Rachel enters an art competition at his urging with a unusual entry. Abby tells him, don't worry so much, but did ask if he saw the art project, because Abby's friend Mary tells her not to worry. She knows Abby's got everything covered from A to Z, and it's going to be just fine. Imagine that. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Once again, it's time for Bag O' Mail.
Hi, geeks. There's an actually thoughtful Englishman, Mitch Ben, who has turned a critical and very funny eye on his country. Here's his word on what they're called to do in this time of crisis. Keep calm and do all. He also has thoughts on Brexit and how Greece may get their artifacts back, and he's threatening to leave his crazier countrymen behind and move to Scotland. He also has a socially safe distance virtual talk show podcast he's calling Confined to Barracks. He's helping every way he can. Give him a listen and enjoy. That's from Bill. Well, Bill, that sounds fantastic. We will do that.
And by the way, the best description, excuse me, the best description I've heard when it comes to the states that are not doing social distancing or lockdowns and the ones that are is, it's equivalent to having a peeing section in the swimming pool.
Anybody got time for that? Drop us a note, won't you please? Let us know if you're going to be there this Saturday for Cards Against Humanity and some guesses for Chad and Abby. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can tell us about it by dialing
510-GRD-CREW.
This is Phil Collinson. You're listening to Radio Free Scaro.
Anyone who might listen to this in the UK,
you will guffaw with amazement.
Yeah, it looks like you need a Piers Winger in here. That's a load-bearing winger.
I feel the impact of Torchwood.
But we had such hope for the character. Thinking, oh, wow, look at Adric. He's great. I'm sure he's starting off a little shaky here, but he'll come around. We've riled him up.
Do we need all these singing-type things for a bunch of nerds?
Pardon me, Pedantor.
That's me, Pedantor of the gutter.
There's the typical Burgess modesty we've all come to know and loathe.
This show has always been about warts and all, by God, and we'll keep doing it.
It's up on RadioFreeScaro.com. Hooray!
I am Colin Baker, and you lucky people, are listening to Geek Radio Daily. Every day! Daily!
More daily than The Daily Show. More daily than the Daily Social Distancing Show. Having trouble keeping up with things.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Because that's all we can do nowadays. What are we going to start fragging folks in this week, sir?
Cloud Punk. It's a story-driven exploration game about Rania, a courier in a vast cyberpunk city. I thought it was Cloud, but it's available for the Switch, PC, and Xbox One.
Sunless Sea, a top-down, semi-procedurally generated adventure game set in the fallen London universe where players seek out islands in the cavernous Untersee for the Switch and Xbox One.
It's a fantastic game. Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4. The Naruto series jumps to 8th generation consoles with the 4th sequential installment of the Ultimate Ninja Storm series, if you didn't get that from the title. It's now available for the Switch.
Trials of Mana, a remake of the classic game for Switch, PC, and PS4.
Guard Duty, a point-and-click adventure game funded on Kickstarter. Check it out on the Switch.
Sakura Wars, a reboot of the series set 12 years after the events of the previous game, where a new Flower Division must face a mysterious enemy that threatens Tokyo and the world for the PS4.
Flower Division, bedded zombies. Moving Out, a cooperative moving simulator where people must navigate physics-based obstacles to quickly and safely move furniture and other objects. Now you can digitally do the thing that you're always too busy to help a friend do. It's available for the Switch, PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
That game existed because it saw Moving Up and decided it had to be something else. SnowRunner, the follow-up to the trucking sim hit MudRunner, developed by Saber Interactive and published by Focus Home Interactive for PC. And Xbox One.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Chris Pine is in negotiations to star in the title role in the latest film reboot, The Saint, which is being helmed by Rocketman director Dexter Fletcher for Paramount Pictures. Seth Graham Smith penned the script with Lorenzi Di Bonavino and Brett Cavroy producing, along with the late Robert Evans posthumously. The story follows Simon Templar, the Saint, a Robin Hood-esque criminal and thief for hire.
And then, inexplicably, took a vow of poverty and became a hermit. Ran off to live in the forest, in the nude.
I'd watch that. The property was previously turned into the famed 1960s TV show with Roger Moore, the 1997 film with Val Kilmer, but there's been multiple other TV movies, radio, TV series adaptations with actors like Vincent Price, Lewis Hayward, George Sanders, and Adam Rayner.
who coined my favorite phrase, give me chastity and give me consistency, but do not give it yet.
Oh, I knew it. Pine has worked with Paramount before, of course, in the Star Trek franchise and his one-off stint as Jack Ryan for Shadow Recruit. It's unknown when The Saint would go into production, but the project is being seen as a potential franchise starter. Will it get off the ground this time?
Nobody has a clue. Least of all me.
You have to be very good, and usually a very dead person to become a saint. And more importantly, you need to work three miracles. Now go to work, and get Elizabeth's shoe!
Netflix has acquired global rights, excluding China, for Legendary Entertainment's Enola Holmes, an adventure movie centered on Sherlock Holmes' highly capable teenage sister, and is based on the Edgar Award-nominated book series by Nancy Springer, who gets the things done her brother cannot.
To be a man, apparently, was to lack the ability to be a woman.
Harry Bradbeer from Fleabag directs the film, which revolves around the disappearance of Enola's mother on the girl's 16th birthday. The budding detective seeks out her older brothers for help, but rather than aid her, they are more interested in sending her back to finishing school, but she puts a finish to that thought very quickly.
Finishing and not elementary? I hope the kind listener recognizes this as a despairing attempt at humor.
Undeterred, Enola heads to London, encountering a cast of colorful characters in her quest to find her mother. Stranger Things and Godzilla King of the Monsters star Millie Bobby Brown plays Enola opposite Henry Cavill as Sherlock Holmes and Sam Claflin as his brother Mycroft Holmes.
Whoa, that's a beefy Holmes.
And someone with enough gravitas, of course, hopefully, to play the villainous lout behind all of this. Confound my genteel upbringing. Could not think of any name foul enough to call him. I shall then just call him Sir Reginald Poopyhead Esquire. The turd.
Venom's writers Scott Rosenberg and Jeff Pinker will pin an adaptation of the smash hit manga and anime series One Punch Man in what Sony Pictures is hoping could be another superhero franchise that they could somehow make a part of its Spidey-verse, probably, maybe?
I'll leave tomorrow's problems to tomorrow's me.
One Punch Man was first created by Japanese artist One as a viral webcomic and then a hugely successful manga series alongside illustrator Yusuke Murata, which itself spun off into a beloved anime with a less than stellar sophomore season.
Yeah, fair enough.
It follows a simple premise. Saitama, the puncher himself, is capable of defeating literally any foe in a single punch. So how does he keep the challenge of being a superhero any fun for himself between training and everyday life in a world where every fight can end in an instant?
I'm not a hero because I want your approval. I do it because I want to.
It's a marriage of over-the-top fight action and the pure comedic simplicity of Saitama's non-punching life that has made One Punch Man one of the biggest manga of recent history, debuting in both Japan and West to wild critical acclaim.
Look, I'm not an anime guy, but this show, it's got characters like the bicycle-riding Moomin Rider, Vaccine Man, Spring Mustachio, Magic Trick Man, Funeral Suspenders, and the strangely nude Puri Puri Prisoner.
Strangely? How Sony intends to bring it to life at the box office remains to be seen, but it won't be an animated adventure. We know that it will be live action.
A hero must be tough, strong, and beautiful, as well as be able to promptly and splendidly eradicate evil.
And hopefully he will, because this is the one hero everyone can relate to. Someone we all aspire to be. I mean, when I was a little boy, I wanted to be a hero. Not some damn businessman, but a superhero who could send rotten villains like you flying with one punch!
Speaking of anime stuff, the premiere of Sailor Moon Eternal, a cinematic retelling of the Dream Arc in which the Senshi face off against the Dead Moon Circus, Toei and Crunchyroll are inviting everyone to re-experience the episodic adventure that built up to the film's Celestial Confrontation, and it's coming soon.
Fighting evil by moonlight, winning love by daylight, never running from a real fight, she is the one named Sailor Moon!
Crunchyroll announced that beginning this week, it will be posting every episode from the first three Sailor Moon series that were presented as continuous seasons in the West in batches of 10 episodes. Because Sailor Moon Eternal retells the story of fourth series, now's as good a time as any to go back and refresh your memory as to what the Senshi went through before one of the smallest and most mysterious members of their team popped up on the scene and revealed shocking things about Sailor Moon's future.
Even someday when we disappear and new Sailor Senshis are born, Sailor Moon, you will always be invincible, the most beautiful shining star.
Crunchyroll doesn't exactly want you to binge rewatch, so the batches of episodes are set to drop weekly, beginning this Friday and going through July 17th.
I feel right now that if time stopped at this moment, it would be just fine by me.
Sailor Moon Eternal hits Japanese theaters on September the 11th.
And in U.S. theaters, maybe? If they ever open.
Maybe you can stream it.
Who wants that? I'd rather choose to fall in love and be hurt. Sometimes I can't even sleep because I love someone too much. And there's always sadness in our lives. It's that sad feeling.
In October of 1920, Arthur Stanley Eddington, an English astrophysicist, taught the world that the sun and stars held massive energies when he penned an essay elegantly titled The Internal Constitution of the Stars. A star is drawing on some vast reservoir of energy by means unknown, he wrote. This reservoir can scarcely be other than subatomic energy, which, it is known, exists abundantly in all matter. We sometimes dream that man will one day learn how to realize it and use it for his service.
His belief was they indeed had the touch. They had the power.
From that moment, scientists began the quest to harness unlimited carbon-free power on Earth. They've built more than 200 reactors that have tried to slam hydrogen atoms together and release fusion energy. It's a dream continuously called delusional, impossible, and always 20 years away. In 85, recognizing no country had the will to solve the world's most complicated puzzle alone, Reagan and Gorbachev called for an international effort to give it a go.
Energy. You'd think we'd be saving it up.
In 1988, engineers began designing the International Thermonuclear Experimental Reactor, now just ITER. Along the way, 35 nations have split the $23.7 billion price tag to construct its 10 million parts. Now surrounded by vineyards in France's Saint-Paul-et-Durance, the 25,000-ton machine is set to be flipped on in 2025.
And restore the timeline that was damaged when the Big Hadron Collider was turned on, bringing us to the darkest timeline.
This Palladio Field coil winding facility is one of 39 buildings on ITER's 445-acre campus. Since the isotopes creating the fusion energy will be 10 times hotter than the sun, two layers of magnetic coils ringing the machine will keep them caged within.
Well, until it gets mad and breaks free and climbs the Empire State Building.
The isotopes' butting heads will be deuterium and tritium. To get the atoms whipping around the inner chamber of the Russian nesting doll-like machine, a magnet will drive 15 million amps of electricity through them. They'll also be zapped by 24 microwave generators, three semi-truck-sized particle guns, until they reach 270 million degrees Fahrenheit, and Avic Optimus D crash into each other, releasing heaps of energy.
All right, kids, get ready for Cloverfield, the documentary. But look, what's the worst thing that happens? We get nuclear and thermal and solar if we miss, then we'll get colder and colder. Energy, we gotta stop using you up.
There's no guarantee ITER will fully achieve fusion by 2035 as scheduled, but Edward Morse, who teaches nuclear engineering at UC Berkeley, says it's the only viable hope that we have to secure the energy we'll need over the next millennia. It's Rosemary's baby. We have to pray for Rosemary's baby.
I'm sorry, what now?
And if it fails? Eddington wrote, if a man is not yet destined to reach the sun and solve for all time the riddle of its constitution, yet he may hope to learn from the journey some hints to build a better machine. And there is the plotline for the new Big Finish Torchwood audio drama, Rosemary's Fusion. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 9 States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradio.com. Whew. And don't forget, this Saturday night, we're playing Cards Against Humanity. We got a program thing. We'll tell you all about it. It's in the Facebook group. We're going to have Zoom going on. We're going to record stuff. We're going to drink. We're going to get silly. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to pretend like we're normal people doing normal things, just all in our own houses. So drop us a note. Let us know you'd like to participate, or let us know where Chad and Abby are, or what the hell you're even doing. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or you can just tell us all about it by dialing
510-GRD.
And we will see you at another time.
I think I'm out of witty banter.
Creeps like you should be in a cage.
Funny, I detect no source of amusement.
And that's the end.
Hi, Max Headroom here with... This is my guest. I heard you were big time in the old pop biz. Well, I'm going to take that as a no comment. So, nitty gritty time. What I'm talking about, and you're not, is that more people prefer the new refreshing taste of Coke over Pepsi. Sweating? It's true. More people are, as we Cokeologists say, catching the wave. Catch it if you can. Catch the wave. Coke.
Hi, we're New Edition. We're here to introduce the great new taste of Coca-Cola, the taste of today.
Yeah, Coke is it.
Come on, check it out now. It's got a new taste. It's a definite vibe.